everyone, and welcome to our very first Wisdom Chats. My name's Phil Holdsworth of Aurum Gold, and we're going to be talking all things money and mental well-being related. And I have a guest, Rachel, who's with me. Rachel, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi guys, I'm Rachel Surtees. I'm the Rambling Psychotherapist. I'm a therapist and relational leadership coach. And Phil and I have been chatting away in the background every time we've met up about all things mental health and money orientated. And we've got our heads together and got some ideas together about the main themes around Christmas. So we thought it'd be a great idea just to jump on and speak to you guys about it today.
Yeah, I certainly, when I think about leading up to Christmas and what are many of the influences, if you just take the sort of media on TV, the adverts, I mean, they do portray a really sort of wonderful style of Christmas, almost like pandering to people's expectations of what Christmas ought to be.
Yeah.
But how often can we be disappointed? And also the effects then afterwards when we realise how much money we spent over Christmas as well.
It's
phenomenal. And Rich, I was just thinking, you know, from a sort of a well-being point of view, what are kind of the kind of things that people could be sort of experiencing when we sort of think of Christmas as a whole?
Okay, so one of the main things that I find with people out the other side of Christmas, actually, so when people come to see me out the other side of Christmas, one of the main kind of issues that have arisen is that they are either a bit disappointed or a bit fed up or angry, that their expectations haven't been met of Christmas. And one of the biggest reasons for this is exactly what you just alluded to there, Phil, about the adverts and the way that the media portrays Christmas for people. And it's what I like to call the Disney Christmas syndrome. So people have a fantasy idea about what Christmas is and should be. And some of that will be based on what they see in the media. Some of that will be based on their own kind of family story of what Christmas is. Some of that will be based on their previous experiences and previous good times that they want to relive. But ultimately, it all comes together to form a really unique story of what Christmas is for each individual.
Yeah.
Then what you get is you get all these people with lots of individual stories of what Christmas is coming together, and then those stories don't match up necessarily. So what you find is that this is where things start to go wrong, certainly in relationships at Christmas. Things often start to go wrong because the stories don't meet up and people's needs are not being met and people's expectations are not being met.
Yeah, I think back to my own experience of Christmas as a child growing up in our household. And it was, for me as a child, really sort of magical at times, you know, when you start to put your Christmas decorations up and there's that building expectation. And we as families, we used to sort of get together as a family in different homes. You know, we'd have sort of Christmas dinner in one home and, you know, Christmas tea in another home. You know, this is how we operated, and we'd play sort of games and so on. As you know, wider family, meeting sort of aunts and uncles and cousins and so on.
Yes.
And it was really exciting, and the Christmas present, I just remember as a child sort of that expectation that we would have like a stocking at the end of the bed, and I'd kind of wait until, you know, one of my parents had actually put the stocking on the end of the bed, and they'd go, and when the house went quiet, that's when I get up, open everything up, and I'd be playing early hours of the morning with stuff. And as the years have passed and I've grown up and I've got my own children, they've grown up and left home, I still think about what do I like about Christmas and what's my expectations. And, you know, I do like the kind of magic, but it's different now as an adult. It seems very different, and I'm trying to create something, and yet you're right, you don't always get that sort of mix. So myself and Penny, my wife, we'll have an idea ourselves as to what we want to do, but we then have other things to consider. We might
Yeah,
have other people
absolutely.
to consider. And
Yeah, I mean, take my experience at the moment. I'm in a new relationship, so we've been married previously in a new relationship, and we're doing the whole blended families thing, and
yeah.
that two sets of people's Christmas, and trying to work out how on earth we navigate that and make everybody happy as well, you know.
Yeah.
It can be really intricate, and tricky to navigate.
Yes. And I one of the things I've observed from a sort of a money aspect is that this is the point in time when people, in trying to create something that for them would be an ideal Christmas or a good Christmas, it sometimes requires a lot of money. Now, at this point, we know there are rapidly rising costs, so it's going to cost us that much more. And if we don't have a kind of handle on it, then it can be one of those things that later on comes back to bite us in the backside.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's certainly something that I witnessed actually, that in the pursuit of maintaining the fantasy or building the fantasy, recreating the fantasy, people are they're very emotionally attached to this fantasy. It holds a huge emotional charge for them. So their rationality sort of goes out the window a little bit actually, and they're willing to throw copious quantities of money at building that fantasy.
It's interesting as well, taking that point about the rationality going out of the window. To say that 80% of the decisions we make around our money are made from our emotional state. Only 20% is from our rational. And when you think on that basis, if we are not aware of our emotional state and what's driving our emotions, how very quickly we can make decisions that we could later regret,
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
see that often.
Yeah, absolutely. So from my point of view, again, just th thinking about this idea of the fantasy, rationality going out the window, the huge emotional charge that goes from a mental health point of view, and I'm guessing from a financial point of view as well, I think it's a really good idea to make these almost like semi-unconscious stories that we have, these fantasies that we have, really conscious, and talk to the people around us that we're going to be hanging around with at Christmas about them, so that people, you know, we all have an idea of what it is that we expect and what's achievable as well within.
I think you're right, because one of the things I would say with regards to people planning for Christmas and leading up to Christmas is have a plan. If you don't have a plan, then you're just being sort of influenced and swayed by whatever's coming at you from social media, from the TV networks, and your own sort of past and your own desires, what you would like to achieve and experience at Christmas time. So having a plan enables you then to become more realistic. But the key is sticking to that plan as well. And I know it's hard sometimes. When you see, certainly if you're comparing yourself to others around and you see how they're celebrating Christmas and you think, oh, I wish we could be like that. I've seen so often people make choices because they've been sucked into this comparison. And one of the things that really struck me is it's not the things, the external things that make Christmas, it's what goes on internally in us. We make Christmas.
Absolutely. You know, if you think about the kind of the main highlights that people talk about in terms of what makes Christmas special, it's with family, it's time to slow down and just enjoy yourselves, it's time with no expectations. There is something about sharing gifts as well, but it's not necessarily about the amount of money that you throw into that, but actually, you know, that's not necessarily always at the top of people's priority list. You know, the main themes that come out of it are stuff that isn't related to money at all.
No, it's interesting that talk about gifts. I just remember, that saying that people sometimes say, it's the thought that counts.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes I could slap somebody because I'm thinking, you didn't really think there when you bought me that jumper that I'm definitely not going to wear because it
Yes.
just isn't my style or whatever. But yeah,
No.
I could think of, I'm sure lots of people have got ideas of or experiences of receiving gifts that you're thinking, what am I supposed to do with this? And you kind of smile and nod and say, thank you very much. Oh, and it's the
Yes.
thought that counts. But
Yes.
yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you know, we don't have to spend tons to, you know, just to show somebody we actually care about them. You know,
Now,
sometimes it can be this.
some of my fondest Christmases are from when I was completely flat broke and hadn't barely a penny to rub together. They're my fondest Christmases because actually it's the people that made them, you know.
Yes.
I gathered not family around me, unfortunately, because my family were a little precarious and unpredictable, but I gathered friends around me. I gathered the waifs and strays that were in similar situations to me around me. And we had an absolute whale of a time. And the kids that were involved had a whale of a time. And there was very little spent, very, very little spent at those times because we just didn't have it.
Yeah, there was a couple of Christmases where Penny and I actually got involved in going and serving Christmas meals to people who perhaps didn't have somebody to have
Yes.
Christmas with, or people who, you know, were between sort of I don't know, sort of homes or what have you. And do you know, that was so rewarding. You know, it's, I've probably got really fond memories of those times. And, you know, even my daughter, one of my daughters came along and actually played her flute and played Christmas carols while people were eating. And, do you know, we remember those things. And we
I was
remember
just saying,
really.
thinking as you were telling me that about your daughter there, I was thinking about the
Yeah.
time I've taken my children along to things and like basking in that kind of like proud parent glow, you know? And just thinking about the feeling that that generates inside me and the memory of the things that my kids have done in those moments as well. I'm thinking, yeah, those are the things I really cherish.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's not losing sight of what is really important, even at this time of year. It's the people, isn't it? And as much as we get all the trimmings, and they're great, and there's nothing wrong with them, but if they're in proportion to what we're able to afford, for example, or that it doesn't create that huge anxiety, you know, like that the turkey just isn't right. Well,
Yes.
so what? But the people are here, you
Yes.
know, or whatever it
I
may.
remember when my husband and I broke up, having to announce to the kids for the first Christmas, because it wasn't long before Christmas that we broke up, having to announce to my kids that, yeah, kids, I've only set you a £60 budget each for Christmas this year. I hope that's okay. And I was so nervous because my husband had a really well-paid job. We could afford to get them loads of stuff. We used to spend a lot of money on Christmas, as many families do. And I'd gone to being a single parent household, not earning anywhere near as much as we used to do as a joint family. And I was like, this is all I can afford. And I was so nervous that they were going to be disappointed. And they couldn't have given a monkey's. They really couldn't have cared less. They were just like, do you know what, Mum? Spend a tenner on us. I don't care. You know, what's important to me is that we sit down, we have a nice meal together, we watch some trashy TV, and we just have a lovely time in our PJs. You know, that's all they were bothered about. That's all they were concerned about.
And that's fantastic, and I think that's understanding the fact that, like we said earlier, it's about the people, it's about being with people, it's about you know, spending time with them, valuing them, but not valuing them in the way that I'm valued because you spent a lot of money on me. I'm
Yeah,
valued because you just care for me and that you want to be
absolutely.
with me.
And the commercial aspect of Christmas is a really potent story that a lot of people buy into, myself included. So in this moment of nervousness where I was going, oh God, the kids are going to hate me, you know, but in that moment, I was buying into that commercialized aspect of Christmas story that actually what's really important is that I spend lots of money on people to let them know that they're valued.
And
Again, it's just a fantasy.
it is, yeah. And the trouble is, society's seemingly gone that way, hasn't it? You know, that we're valued because of how much money we've got, how much we have, you know, the influence that we hold or what have you. But actually, at the end of the day, we're just us. And if we remember that we ourselves, just as ourselves, have value, and we can offer that value just by the fact that we just show our love, our care, our concern for other people, it's great. So Rachel, just sort of wrapping this up a bit, what sort of tip would you have for somebody at this period of time that would help them sort of maintain their sort of well-being, their emotional and mental well-being?
So for me, it would be about making those unconscious stories conscious. So what is your story of Christmas? What is the story of Christmas of the people around you? Get that out in the open. Discuss what you're actually going to do. Discuss what's achievable and stick to that as a plan. That way, Christmas is... everybody's expectations of Christmas are going to be met because everybody knows what the plan is, you know? Nobody's going to be disappointed or upset because certain things haven't been done or certain things haven't been said or certain time hasn't been given. It's actually, it's been mapped out in advance.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think having a plan has a profound impact on reducing any anxiety. And if we're realistic about that plan, stick within our means and stick to our plan, then come the new year, we're not going to be hit with bills and so on that you're thinking, oh, where am I going to get the money from because I've spent it all at Christmas. So I would agree with you, and my tip would be on the financial side is have a financial plan, have those conversations, understand what everybody's expectations are, be realistic, put it down in monetary terms in a plan and stick to that plan. And all I can say then is Merry Christmas to everybody and hope you have a wonderful time and all the very best for 2022.
Absolutely. I hope you have a fab festive season, a happy and healthy start to 2022.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Rachel. It's been wonderful having a chat with you. And I hope that's been helpful for anybody listening to this. So thank you very much.